So we're looking at this series on life's choices. We're looking at how the choices you make make your life what it is. I think when Ken Zylstra began this series, he said something like, "You are the sum total of the choices you make in life." And some would dispute that, and they would say, "Well, no, there's lots of things that shape my life that were not choice. In fact, I never chose them, they just happened to me, and they've made me what I am today." I can understand that, and I sympathise with those that feel that way, and I accept that there's lots of unfair things that happen in life. I mean, looking back on my own life, I can see a number of things that, from my perspective anyway, I think were unfair. I can see also lots of things that happened to me that were really good that I didn't deserve, so let's keep a balance here. But my point is that even when life treats us unfairly, we shouldn't let that determine who we are. You shouldn't let the unfair things in life determine who you are. Because who we are is determined by the choices we make, how we respond even to the unfair things in life. And I think in that sense we are the sum total of the choices we make in life. Yes, even when lots of bad things happen to us that are beyond our control, we're shaped in the end, not by those circumstances, but we are shaped by how we respond to those circumstances. And one more thing I need to say just before I move on. We all make some bad choices in life. I mean, put up your hand if you've never made a bad choice in life. I'll take that as agreement. I've made some real doozies. So does that mean we are locked into the consequences of our bad choices? Well, no. There will be consequences. There are always are with the choices we make. But there is also something the Bible called grace, God's grace. And the whole point of God's grace is that the evil consequences of the poor choices we make don't have to go on affecting us forever and a day. And by God's grace, even the worst choices you make in your life, we can find forgiveness and we can find restoration. Now, tonight we're going to look at a man who made some really poor choices right up until the age of 65. And then at the ripe old age of 65, he made a good choice that turned his whole life around. The name of this man was Enoch. Now, for 65 years, Enoch lived just like everyone else. And then something happened. We read that Enoch lived 65 years, and then he begot Methuselah. And then it says, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. At the ripe old age of 65, Enoch made a critical choice. He chose to walk with God. Now, I say ripe old age, though people lived a lot longer in those days, and in fact, Enoch lived another 300 years. It says there, all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And even that was less than half the age of the age that most people lived to in those days. Now, this choice that Enoch made at age 75 was no flash in the pan. Was not like one of those New Year's resolutions you made on the 1st of January last month that on the 15th of February you've now forgotten about. At age 65, Enoch made this choice. He said, "I'm going to walk with God." And he continued to walk with God for another 300 years. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God. After that, something happened that had never happened before. And that's only occurred once in the whole of human history since. And that is, it goes on and says, and he was not, for God took him. So what does that mean? He was not, for God took him. And there are just two other places in the Bible which talk about Enoch. And they're both just a few verses, so I'm going to refer to them both. Here's the first one. It's found in Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. In Hebrews 11, 5, we're following through the series of people in Hebrews 11 who made choices. In Hebrews 11, it says, By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. He was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. Genesis says, he was not, for God took him. What does that mean? It means he was taken away so that he did not see death. Now this is extraordinary. It's extraordinary in the context in which you read that in Genesis. You go back to Genesis chapter 5, you'll see there it says, Adam lived 130 years, he got a son in his own likeness after his own image. He named him Seth. After he'd got Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. You go on from there, and it says things like, after he begot Enosh, Seth lived, so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. After he begot Canaan, Enosh lived, so all the days of Enosh were 905 years, and he died. After he got Mahalalel, Canaan lived, so all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. So you go through Genesis chapter 5, you get this pattern which is rather depressing. Adam lived and he died. Seth lived and he died. Enosh lived and he died. Canaan lived and he died. Mahalalel lived and he died. Jared lived and he died. All the way down to the seventh from Adam. But when you get to the seventh from Adam, you read something else. Because suddenly you read, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. It doesn't say Enoch lived and he died. It says that Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So Enoch didn't just live. A lot of people today just live. But he lived and walked with God. The choice that he made at age 65 had tremendous consequences. It had eternal consequences. And then Enoch didn't die like all those around about him. But when he reached the end of his life on the earth, he didn't die. He went straight to heaven without seeing death. You've got to admit that the choice that Enoch made at age 65 had tremendous consequences. Now, how hard was it for him to make that choice? I mean, didn't everyone walk with God back then? Let's think about the times in which Enoch lived. The first man on earth was Adam. We're told in Genesis chapter 5 that Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. They had at least three that we know of. There was Cain, who was his firstborn, and then there was Abel, and then there was another son, Seth. They're the only ones that are named. But we know that apart from them, Adam and Eve had sons and daughters. Now, Peter took us through that last week, what happened with Cain and Abel. And when you think about someone who walked with God, you think, well, if anyone walked with God, surely Abel did, whatever walking with God means. Only Abel didn't survive. Cain made bad choices. He was jealous of Abel, and he slaughtered him. And from then on, in Genesis 4, we have this whole litany of godless and cruel men who were all descendants of Cain. Now, these were clever men, if you go down to Cain's descendants. It was Cain and his descendants that laid the foundations of human society as we know it today. Cain was the first man to actually build a city. You go right down to Jabal, and Jabal learned how to raise livestock, and so this enabled mankind to give up hunting and gathering, their nomadic existence, and they could then live in those cities. You've got Jubal. He was the first one to build or to make musical instruments. He's the father of the arts and culture. You've got Tubal Cain. He discovered metallurgy. He was the father of technology. that iPhone that you carry in your pocket today, you can thank Tubal Cain for that. He's the one that started it all. So this was a fantastic society. It was clever, it was cultured, it was making new scientific discoveries all the time. And it was easy to admire that society, it was easy to admire its leaders. Everyone wanted to be part of this society. Except that these very clever men were godless. They were wicked. We read about Lamech, who was the father of Jabal, Jubal and Tubal Cain, how he made up a poem, probably a song, and probably set to music, and probably played on one of his son's instruments. It was a song that celebrated Lamech's brutal murder of a young man who had slighted him, who had offended him. And Lamech wasn't going to stand for that, so he's up and he slaughters this young man. If it was good enough for Cain, it was good enough for Lamech. And then he made up this beautiful poem, probably set it to beautiful music, and this is the first recorded song in the Bible composed by man. It glorifies an act of revenge. Who was this Lamech? He was the seventh in line from Adam through the line of Cain. Who was Enoch? He was the seventh in line from Adam through the line of Seth. These are the days in which Enoch lived. They were exciting days. There were great advances in civilization. There were days of new scientific discoveries, and there were days of technological achievement, and there were days of new cities and advances in agriculture. There were days of advances in music and the arts. I mean, who wouldn't want to be part of it? Enoch wanted to be part of it. For 65 years, Enoch was part of it. He admired these famous men. He envied their entrepreneurial spirit. And sadly, for 65 years, it would seem, he was part of it. He got caught up in that way of life. Enoch wasn't descended from Cain. Talking about this in a way, but Enoch wasn't descended from Cain. His ancestor was Seth, who was another son of Adam. It says in verse 25, Adam knew his wife again, and she bore a son and named him Seth. She said, "For God has appointed to me another seed instead of Abel, whom Cain killed." And it seems that even when Seth was born, even in the days of Seth, men and women were still not too careful to follow the Lord. And then it says, "As for Seth, to him also was born a son, and he named him Enosh." And then it says that about this time, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. So with the birth of Seth's son, there are some people in some places who begin to call upon the name of the Lord. They begin to worship God. And while the line of Cain grows more and more godless, there are some who are actually worshipping God. And this Enoch is descended from Seth. How long did that last? Well, we know that for the first 65 years of his life, Enoch was not particularly concerned to walk with God. We know also that when Enoch did begin to walk with God, God spoke to him a prophecy which addresses the general condition of men and women at the time. Things were not good. That prophecy is found in the book of Jude. Let me read it to you. It says, "Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, 'Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him.'" Now, you cannot read that without realizing there are two words that jump out of you. They each occur four times. And they are the words "all" and the word "ungodly." Ungodly describes the conditions at the time of Enoch. "All" describes just how universal that ungodliness was. Did things get better after this? Well, now you jump ahead to the next chapter of Genesis, and it says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually, and the Lord was sorry that he'd made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart." That's the environment in which Enoch grew up. That's the environment in which, at age 65, Enoch turned his back on the wickedness of the society in which he lived, and he made this deliberate choice to walk with God. That would also have meant he would have given up many opportunities to be part of the music and the culture and the advances in science and technology that were going on in his day. Not because they were bad in themselves, but they were controlled by a godless society in which he lived, and that society would then shut him out. And that's what happens. When you make a conscious choice to walk with God, you not only turn your back on the wicked aspects of society, you will inevitably miss out on opportunities in music and culture and science and technology, simply because the godless society who controls those things will shut you out. This was not an easy choice for Enoch to make. Why did he make that choice? Why did he wait till he was 65 years old to make that choice? And why did he make that choice when he was 65 years old? We're not told exactly, but we're given a pretty good hint. We're told that Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. After he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. We're told that it was at the time that Enoch had his first child that he made this choice to begin walking with God. It would seem, at least, that the birth of that child was the catalyst for this life-changing decision. Now, this is often the case. God will use some critical event in your life to make you wake up to yourself and turn your life around. Perhaps, like Enoch, up till then, your marriage and your spouse have been living a fairly careless existence. I don't necessarily mean a flagrantly immoral life, but you've just been caught up so much in the latest in science and technology and music and the arts that you've had no time for God. Your life has been completely focused on you. And then suddenly, here is this child, and you're responsible for the welfare of this child, and you feel this responsibility. You don't want this child to grow up as self-centered as you've lived your life till now. You want this child to know a better life, a spiritual life, and suddenly you're faced with a spiritual choice. Or it might be the death of a loved one, a spouse or a son or daughter. Might be the loss of a job. Might be suddenly inheriting a fortune and you've got a responsibility as to how you're going to use that fortune. Might be the loss of the fortune. But whatever it is, you're facing a crisis. You're facing a critical time in your life. It's time to make a critical decision. Are you going to go on living the way you have for the last 65 years or 45 or 25 or 15, whatever? Or will you turn your life around and begin to walk with God? What does that walking with God mean? You go back to Hebrews chapter 11. It says there, "By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." So this tells us that to walk with God means to walk by faith. It doesn't mean that you're perfect like God. It doesn't mean that you never sin and you never mess up. But it does mean that your life, your whole life, is controlled by faith in God. Faith in God, the only way you can have faith in God, which is through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, perhaps up to now your life has been controlled by your interest in science and technology. You know, maybe the latest techno gadget on the market is what excites you most. Or it could be controlled by music or the arts. Perhaps it's your job. Might be your next planned vacation. Could be some other interest or hobby. And none of those things are bad in themselves. They're good, or they can be. Unless they take over, unless they become what your life is all about. Because these things can become what your life is all about as much in a good society as in a bad society. And when they become what your life is all about, you have to ask yourself, how are my goals in life any different from that person who lives a bad life? And if your goals are no different, then you really have to beware that you don't end up like the person who lives the bad life. If that is so, it's time to make a critical choice to change the direction of your life, to choose now that you're in your life you will walk with God, to choose now to live by faith. You see, it is by faith that we walk with God. And when we walk by faith, we please God. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. What sort of faith? Without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is. And they must believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. There is, you must believe that God is, that he exists. Not any old God. Not a God that you imagine him to be or want him to be, but the God who is, the God who actually is, exactly as revealed himself to us in the Bible. You must believe in that God, not the God of Islam, not the God of the Hindus, but the God who really is. You must believe that that God is. And you must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's not enough to believe in the existence of God, even in God as he really is. We saw that a few weeks ago. You know, we saw in James chapter 2, how it says, even the devils believe that the true God exists, but it doesn't do them any good. We also believe that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. What kind of rewarder? Well, the one who rewards those who come to him through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the sort of rewarder God declares himself to be in the Bible. And that's not a reward you can earn. There's nothing you can do that will earn you favour with God. This is the reward that God gives to those who don't deserve it. And those who come to God in faith, he rewards. He rewards by forgiving each one his sin. And he rewards by adopting such a one as his own child. And he rewards by assuring each one of his love. And he rewards by granting to each one peace in their conscience and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's how God rewards. And that's the reward we look for. Nothing else, just that. And oh, how greatly Enoch valued that reward. How great a reward that is. But it's only available for those who come to God through faith in Jesus Christ, because that's the way the Bible explains walking with God, and that is the walk with God that pleases God. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Are you diligently seeking God? This is the reward for those who diligently seek God. It's not for the soul who makes a decision one day and a few weeks later just gives up. Enoch chose to walk with God at age 65. And when he chose to walk with God at age 65, he must have thought, how long am I going to live after this? He didn't know. He must have thought, what's my life going to be like after this? I'll tell you what it was like after this. It was pretty ordinary. We're told there that after he got Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and he had sons and daughters. That's all we're told. He had sons and daughters. No mention of storming castles or conquering kingdoms or changing society or winning the Nobel Prize and becoming famous. Just that he had sons and daughters. And from what we know of Enoch, apart from the odd prophecy, the whole of Enoch's life walking with God was lived out having and raising sons and daughters. It's the context in which he lived out walking with God. Walking with God doesn't mean doing something spectacular, having great spectacular achievements in life. It might be lived out in nothing more spectacular than having and raising sons and daughters. Most people who walk with God today live out their life in nothing more spectacular than that. But even in the most mundane circumstances of life, you can walk with God. In the most mundane circumstances of life, you can live a life which is pleasing to God. But the important thing is that from the time you make that choice to walk with God, you go on seeking him diligently. Once Enoch made that conscious decision to walk with God, he went on seeking him diligently for 300 years. And he pleased God. Okay, one final word before we wrap it up. Enoch's choice at age 65, we have seen, had profound consequences. It had profound consequences for his present life, but it also had far more critical consequences for the life to come, which he passed into without even seeing death. Your choice, if you choose to walk with God, whatever age you are now, will likewise have profound consequences for the remainder of your life, for how you live out your life, maybe for some things that you're excluded from. And likewise, it will have even more critical consequences for your life to come. I don't mean that you won't see death. Abel walked with God. He lived a life of faith. He was brutally murdered by his own kin. Walking with God doesn't necessarily spare you the troubles of this life or of death, but it will spare you in the life to come, and it will bring you into the same place that Enoch was brought to share in the same joy and the same bliss in heaven in the presence of the same Saviour. Amen.